Hello, my name is, I don't know. We'll see. My name is Victor. Hello. Hello. So my name is Victor. I'm 20 years old. I was born in Bulgaria, where I lived for most of my life. Now, after that, I lived for a few years in Dublin, Ireland, and now I'm a second-year student at TU Delft. Today, I wanted to tell you something about my recent, but not recent, but last year's Google Summer of Code project, where the goal was to migrate the Lua package manager from dynamically typed Lua to statically typed dialect of Lua called TL, and basically go over the benefits of that, as well as how planning happened and how the reality of everything worked, as you're gonna see that it was not as straightforward as I'd imagined. Then how I tackled different problems during that, and at the end what my workflow was, and then what happened at the end. So, without further ado, I wanted to start with what Google Summer of Code is. So Google Summer of Code, as you probably know, it's our platform where big open source organizations can put projects with their contributors so that people who are new to open source development can get a feel what it's like to work on open source and not only on small projects but or large and active projects. So so the idea is that it's a kind of like a win-win situation where the person gets experience while the organization gets a new feature or a new implementation or basically a new feature. So my take on that is that if you haven't tried it and contributing to open source is something you are passionate about, definitely give it a go. It was a really once in a lifetime opportunity for me. Now, without any more blubbing, let's go to the actual benefits of the migration. So the main benefit was obviously to introduce types to the LuaRocks code base to hopefully make it clearer, more understandable, and more maintainable for the future. The second benefit, which was also a really nice added benefit, was a new improve to the TL language, which was a good idea for this project, as it was a large project, large scale project, and allowed for encompass of edge cases, which TL we saw that did not know how to handle, but now it can. So with that, let me show you an example. So here on the left, we have a code which I took from the manifest. What was it? Manifest writer. Manifest file writer. Yes. And it's an example I picked because first of all, I want you to think about what the type of storage is, and it's not written there, it's underlined there, and you can probably figure out from the code. Like, that's why I picked this example. It was not the most difficult one or the simplest one, but I believe that it's manageable to be figured out just from the code itself. So, I hope you guessed it. It's actually a map from a string to an array of strings, where here you can see that the string, if this works, oh, this works, okay. So, here you can see that the storage takes an item name, the name of the item that you want to insert, and an array of combinations between names and versions. So as you can hopefully see now, the second example, if someone were to try to make an improvement on that specific method now, they can just look at the types and easier go through the code, not spending their time trying to decode what exactly the code does. Now, I don't know how much time, so let's move on with what planning was. So this was my initial proposal back in April last year. It's small, I know. The idea is not to read it. It's there if you want to read it, but that's not the goal. I want to just pinpoint some places where planning magic happened. Anyway, so first I wanted to see that here I forgot that I had exams, so this was not the week I was able to work on, and so that slowed the project. Then my pre-planned vacation was actually not this week, but actually this one, which may seem not important. However, what I figured is that it's really important for those changes to be, or for your schedule and for when you're available, it was really important to communicate that with your mentor, as for me, or for like for our case, it almost caused the project to not be finished. So don't undermine that. Now, another thing is I want to mention is that the last week I put a buffer week, which in turn is the thing that saved the project. So the mistake was the thing that almost failed it, and then the buffer week was the thing that saved it. Now, as to my delusions at the start, you can probably see how I had the image in my head that by week 5 I was going to be done with 20% of the project, and by week 6 I was going to be done with 80% of the project, and by week 7 I would have been done, which was not what happened. Now, let's go with actually how I approached the problem. So my approach to the problem, as there were many files interacting with each other, was to create a dependency graph. So a dependency graph where the root files were the core files of the project, which did not interact with anything outside of it. So they interacted within each other, but once they were all figured out, they stood as a foundation of already translated code. Then I moved out layer by layer until the leaves, which were mostly the files handling the commands of the CLI. So pretty up the list. Then, however, of course, it was not as straightforward as with most things, and we had a few exceptions, first of which were the external dependencies. The external dependencies are in Lua, and so you have to provide some sort of definitions to TIO so it can handle them. This, however, is a really nice feature of TIO, which provides definition files, which I used. However, as we wanted to improve TIO, I was on the development branch of TIO rather than the release branch of TIO, which created a few changes which also had to be taken care of. Now, the next thing were also files that after some decisions and considerations, we decided that were not in the scope of the project, so that they would not be converted, meaning that they would also need their own definition files. And the third thing are the cyclic dependencies. Cyclic dependencies are handled by Lua. However, they are not a good practice, and we wanted to get rid of them. So that also happened by refactoring methods from one file to another to hopefully minimize the cyclic dependencies. Here, I also wanted to add a quick note on challenging parts which I encountered during my actual conversion, which was when I was stuck in a method that I could not figure out. Instead of stopping, a solution was to continue working to down the file or to a different file so that I do not get blocked, and mark that part which I did not understand as a question. That led to two huge improvements, one of which was that I could be more efficient with my work, and the second one was that the meetings with my mentor went had more of an agenda to them, which made them more structured, and we could go over more blockages in them. Now, I want to talk about the dependency, the development workflow, about it. So how I did testing. So after I completed the file, how was testing done? In this case, at the start, when I converted the file, I could run the already existing workflow on GitHub Actions, which took about 7 minutes, which was fine because I could continue to the next file and only go back if it failed. However, at some point in the project, I managed to magically break half the project. So 7 minutes per iteration was not a good idea. So then, after some fiddling around, I managed to set up the built environment locally, which brought down the runtime from minutes to seconds, which was a huge improvement. And as a note, you so moral of the story is invest more time in testing, as it is really important for your workflow. Another thing is branching. Branching, we had two options for it. One of which was, incremental releases. So every commit I had would go onto a branch, which then would get merged, which was the straightforward solution. However, another solution we had was a one big release at the end, which kind of means after all the code was converted, moving it to a new clean branch where there were two benefits to it. One was that each file only had one entry, even if it was edited multiple times throughout the course. And the second was that Git blame continued to work. So on the newly generated Lua code from the TL code. That makes sense. Okay. So Git blame, the Git blame history was saved because of the new commits that only added the new files one at a time. Hopefully that makes sense. Now, I also wanted to talk a little bit about how everything was brought together. So after the new clean branch, we had we wanted to wait a bit for community feedback, which also gave us time to release the new version of TL, the development version of TL, which the code was dependent on. So at the end, it worked out nicely as we could address feedback from the community as well as have the new version of TL, and then we merged it. That's it. So to recap, I hope this presentation, although quick, helped you gain some valuable insights, which I wanted to share as they really helped me for this project and would definitely use in the future and take into consideration. So hopefully now can you too. This slide is for related links, which are on the FOSDEM the presentation page on below in the resources, as well on the presentation slides, which are also there. And if you have any further questions, as I don't think we have much time, you can either talk to me outside after the presentation or on one of those two links here.
Thank you, Victor. That's awesome.
Thank you.
I think it's also really nice we get students to speak, you know, from the Geek Summer of Code. We've also, as a theme of the day, we're going to replace all words with geeks. Yeah, so we'll have Geeks Emacs.
Okay.
So let's have questions.
When you were moving into a type language, did you notice that you had to change some APIs from signatures, or it was only as annotation?
Sorry, can you repeat? I did not hear.
Yes. You said that the big improvement from moving to GIL was the better legibility of the Lua Rocks.
Yeah. It was. Yes. So the question was if I had to change anything about the signature or just add the types. In most cases, I could get away with just the types. However, with the cyclic dependencies, for example, I had to refactor code around to deal with those, which meant changing the signature sometimes. Refactor more than means like what? Yes, that was the goal. Yeah.
Okay.
Any more questions? I don't think if we have time for more questions, but okay, sure. One more question, anyway. Okay.
One goal that is often cited when moving software to a more statically typed language is to find and fix issues. Did you find any interesting issues in Lua Rocks?
We actually did, but they're quite lengthy, so we cannot go into much detail. But One of which was the hash table was interestingly implemented in Lua, which we then had to change how Teal dealt with it. And another good one was some code that was redundant, which we managed to remove in the process. So yes, that was something which was nice. Now I'm going to leave it to the next person, so I don't...
No, we have time.
Oh, we have time? Okay. Sorry, I cannot... Yeah. Did I leave myself enough work to do another Kaggle project? No, I did not. I was not smart enough to do that, no. Maybe a different project, who knows. Any more questions? I'm letting you stop me because I don't know. Like,
no, we have, still have 3 minutes. So you have 5 minutes to complete the talk and then you have 5 minutes for questions.
Okay.
So you actually have extra time.
Good, so any questions? Yes? So the idea, the way Teal language works is by writing the types and then compiling it back to Lua. So everything is still running from Lua. However, most of it was written from Teal, so compiled from Teal.
Okay.